Okay, so they basically studied five different cultivars of common bean, Phaseolus vulgaris. And those cultivars are abbreviated there. They did the experiment in two different locations, Luxembourg and Brittany. And within each location, each cultivar had three plots. So they had three of one cultivar, three of the next one in each farm. So they did the study for 2 years, and they sequenced the plants, and they also sequenced the seed samples for the bacterial and fungal OTUs that were present. So the first thing that they wanted to determine was, do the cultivars that we sampled accurately represent the genetic diversity of each cultivar as a whole? So it's important to note that diversity not only includes the many types of organisms, but also the amount of each type of organism. So a higher diversity is represented by a higher amount of each type and a higher type. So they sampled 88 bean plants, and they selected 11 simple sequence repeat loci. They made a genetic distance matrix, and they identified 38 alleles, and most of the loci were polymorphic, meaning that different cultivars had mainly different alleles. So the average total number of alleles that they sampled versus the total number of individuals sampled is important. So in order to determine if the individuals sampled were enough, what they did was they compared the number of alleles for each cultivar, and as the number of individuals that they sequenced increased, what they found was that the number of alleles tended to an asymptote, indicating that the number of cultivar individuals that they studied were sufficient to represent the total number of alleles per cultivar. So another way that they analyzed the genetic diversity within and among cultivars was by principal coordinates analysis. Because they analyzed 11 different loci, it is not possible to represent the relationship between these genes on each cultivar using a two-dimensional plot. So in this case, what they do is that they compare two genes at once, loci at once, and then they convert this into something called a principal axis, and then they make a vector with it. And very complicated thing, but the point is that the first two axes that they used were able to explain 70.7 variation between different cultivars. So we had five different types of bean, and 70.7% was explained. They didn't give any p-value or anything And then when they added a third axis, they explained 86.3 of the total variation, of the total diversity, So another way that they compared, that they analyzed the genetic relationship between different cultivars and between the same exact cultivar was through analysis of molecular variants. And so they did this by analyzing different locations on the genome, finding the distance between them. And they were able to identify a 77.6% genetic diversity among the cultivars and 22.4% within the cultivars. And these p-values were very less than 0.001, indicating that these results were statistically significant. They did multiple analysis to establish the genetic diversity within and among the cultivars. They also did pairwise differences between cultivars, where in this case, they have this chart where they have the different cultivars on this axis and this axis, and if you look at the intersection of them, it'll tell you the average pairwise differences between them. So the cultivars were found to have a large level of within and among cultivar diversity, and the p-values corresponding to that are here. And obviously between the same cultivar, you're going to have the greatest alignment. So one of the things that when they sequenced the seed samples for the bacterial and fungal OTUs, they also sequenced field replicates within the same farm of the same cultivar. So what they discovered was that the percentage of OTU shared between them was very low, between 0.9% and 27.9%. For fungal OTUs, the number of shared OTUs was higher. So they gave two possible explanations for this. They said, dominant taxa masked the detection of other bacterial taxa, meaning that, some organisms will use more resources, and because they're dominant, basically what it means. So, and then they also gave an explanation of variations within the trial field. And later on, this will be explained in another section. So one of the questions that we had was, did they sample the soil multiple times? And they didn't mention this at all. What they had was, in the supplement, they have a chart with the pH of the soil, the average climate, the rainfall. But they did not state whether they took samples within the same farm within the different plots. So as far as to determine whether that could affect the number of bacterial OTUs shared. So here we have the table that basically shows you the proportion of OTUs for bacterial and fungal in both locations. And so, not sure if I mentioned this, but they sequenced the 16S ribosomal RNA gene to determine the bacterial OTUs present, and they sequenced the ITS1 region of the fungal spacer gene. So in this case, we have a graphical representation of the OTUs conserved across different sites and different cultivars. So as you can see, for the bacterial 16S ribosomal RNA, there was only one conserved OTU among the two experimental sites, and very few OTUs were conserved among the different cultivars. For the fungi, more OTUs were conserved across the experimental sites, and there was a greater variation of different OTUs in the different fungal sites. So in order to determine the effect of the terroir, or experimental site, on the microbial assemblages, they analyzed the richness and alpha diversity of the samples. So for the alpha diversity, what they did was they determined it by Simpson's inverse index, and the alpha diversity is defined by a specific area. So this will be different from the next slide, which will explain beta diversity. And so the Kruskal-Wallis one-way analysis of variance was used to assess the effect of the experimental site and cultivar on richness and alpha diversity. And so basically, this is another type of analysis just to see the difference between variables, and this analysis does not assume a normal distribution, and the reason why this is so is because they have a low sample size, and so a typical analysis of variance will assume that your sample size is large enough such that all your samples have a normal distribution. But in this case, low sample size resulted in a Kruskal-Wallis one-way analysis, which might not be the best analysis for the alpha diversity. So in here you see the bacterial richness and fungal richness, bacterial diversity and fungal diversity. So the experimental site, right, was found to not affect bacterial richness or diversity.
do you remove this bar on the bottom? Do you know how to remove this bar on the bottom?
There's no, like, an X anywhere somewhere there.
Exit?
Exit?
Yep. Oh, no.
Okay.
I guess you just leave it like that, so no.
I honestly don't
okay,
know.
Okay, it doesn't matter. It's fine.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it works. Right. Okay.
Now it doesn't.
So, in this graph right here, we have bacterial richness as determined by the 16S sequencing. So, in this case, we have one experimental site, and here's the other. And here we have a distribution of the different cultivars, and the number of OTUs is on the vertical axis. So, as you can see, the number of OTUs increases. We have different cultivars that have a greater number of OTUs. And this right here represents the distribution of the OTUs. So cultivars that are up here will have a greater distribution. Bacterial diversity was also not found to be affected by the experimental site. And the way that you can tell this is by their p-values. So this value is above 0.05, meaning that the variance in bacterial richness between the two experimental sites is due to chance in the bacterial diversity as well. However, for the fungal diversity, we see that the difference in richness and diversity for the fungi between experimental sites is of statistical significance, indicating that the experimental site does have an effect on the fungal richness and diversity. So, in this case, they also looked at the cultivar's effect on richness and alpha diversity. And in all cases, no significant relationship was found between the experimental site and the diversity, the alpha diversity and richness. So now we're going to take a look at beta diversity. And beta diversity will take into account the different experimental sites as well as the different cultivars. And it was estimated using Bray-Curtis dissimilarity index and analysis of molecular variance. It revealed a significant effect of the experimental site on bacterial and fungal assemblages. But later on, they performed a canonical analysis of principal coordinates, which determined that 39.7% of fungal diversity and 12.2% of bacterial beta diversity were explained by Terror. However, in the paper, they didn't provide a supplement for this or any figure or any table. So in this image, you see a heat map of bacterial OTUs that are present in the samples. So up on here, you're going to have the different OTUs that were found. And this goes down here, so you can see the number of the OTU. And on this axis right here, you're going to have the darker regions, which are going to be harvested from Brittany. Yeah, and the light gray regions from Luxembourg. So if you see the black region, it coincides here with BZH, BZH. The light gray region with Lux. And so you can see that the distribution of OTUs between the cultivars and between the sites is more mixed up and distributed than in the fungal OTUs. So here we have a color key that's going to determine it's going to basically be a way to see the abundance of the OTUs depending on the cultivar. And so in the regions where the red, you're going to have the greatest abundance. So these right here were actually clustered by their co-occurrence. So if an OTU is present at the same time as another, then they would be clustered together. And that's how they got these one section up here, another here, and another here, and the differences in the light and gray as far as the locations. In this case, we can see that the fungal OTUs were much more varied, but they remained more localized to each of their experimental sites. And the same principles basically apply here. Should be noted that this p-value right here is above 0.05, and this relates to our last slide where we'll be critiquing the effect of sampling. So not only did we want to measure, the diversity of the OTUs, they also wanted to see the composition. So it's a different thing to say diversity and composition. Most of the OTUs were of the gamma proteobacteria, 91% and 79% in Luxembourg. The most represented genus was Pseudomonas, which was present 48% and 77% in the different experimental sites. As far as the fungi, most of them were Ascomycota, but in the BZH site, we had a more even distribution between Ascomycota and Basidiomycota. So we're going to analyze how they said that dominant taxa mask the detection of OTUs. So environment-specific correlation networks were used to determine the relationship of sampling site on the interactions between the microbes. So because we noticed that some of the locations had a great amount of Pseudomonas, and that was basically the only OTU that was conserved between the two experimental sites and the cultivars. We wanted to see how this affected the relationship between the microbes. And we discovered that the Luxembourg site had a lower number of nodes because of the high prevalence of Pseudomonas, which goes back to the variation within field replicates on the same exact farm within the same cultivar. So in this case, we have the correlation between different OTUs depending on the site. And so on the top part right here, you can see that you have a greater number of interactions between the OTUs than you do on this side. So this is for Brittany and this is for Luxembourg. And you will see that in Luxembourg, you have less. And this will most likely be explained by the presence of the Pseudomonas. For fungi, we found more or less even connectedness between the OTUs regardless of the experimental site. So from their analysis shown, specifically from the CAP analysis, which didn't have a supplement, they concluded that the terroir was a key driver of the assemblages that were present on the seed. And they used this value of the 12%, almost 12%, I mean almost 40% and 12% of diversity was explained by the terroir, but they didn't give information. And also we believe that 12% was very low. So the high variation between field replicates, the reasons that they gave for this was insufficient sequencing. However, they contradicted themselves when initially they said that they had a very high sequencing depth when they were talking about sequencing field replicates. They also mentioned variation in seed size could affect the types of microbes present on the seed. And they did give a reference for this. And they also said that high variation could be due to assembly history or the history of the colonization of different organisms on the seed over time. And lastly, they found that plant genotype did not significantly explain the variation of diversity.